Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. This is our second lesson that we're going to present, two lessons, on doing good unto others. And the reason for discussing this subject is because those of us who are Christians need to realize if we walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, we're going to be found doing good unto others. Our faith calls for works. Faith alone will not save. Faith apart from works is a dead faith, and a dead faith won't save. We learn from both the Old Testament and the New Testament that God is of the disposition to help those who are in need. We refer to this sometimes as having a benevolent attitude, a disposition to want to relieve those who are in distress, and maybe those who are hungry, those who are ill-clothed, those who lack certain necessities of life. And it's a part of living the Christian life to be mindful of other people. Of course, God is our priority. He must come first in all things. But the Christian is just not centered on himself, and we'll take note of this in a moment. He's considerate of others, especially of others who stand in need. He has the need and the obligation and the privilege of helping those who are in need. It's a duty that we have. It provides a blessing for us to provide for others who are in need. And as I mentioned last time, we may not be as benevolent as we ought to be because we wait until we can do some sort of big thing that might bring notoriety. But friend, there are so many smaller things that can be done to help those who are in distress and those who are in need. We read in the Bible that even a charitable cup of cold water does not go without the Lord's notice. But maybe we're not as benevolent as we ought to be. Is because we don't always recognize our opportunities for doing good. There's a story of a woman of a relatively meager means who heard over the radio about a family, their house had burned. Well, she called the station. She didn't know the family, but she called the station. She got the name of the family and the location of where they lived and where the house was, and she made contact with that family. And when she went to see them, she took with her some small baked goods by which she wished to show kindness and a sympathy and to relieve them somewhat in their distress. Well, this Christian lady later was influential in bringing that entire family to the salvation of Christ because they were impressed with Christianity, as was exemplified in the life of this good lady. Now, you know, she could have said, well, somebody's house burned. That happens all the time, all around. And this is not my particular responsibility and my duty. She might have thought, well, there'll be some other organization, somebody, they'll provide for them. And she could have said that, well, after all, I don't have very much, and I can't give up much. And she could have just gone off and done nothing. She could have done like maybe too many of us do, call the preacher and the elders and tell them about it and then dismiss it from our minds. You know, sometimes people seem to think that notifying the preacher and the elder, that just ends their responsibility altogether, whether it's in benevolence or teaching or whatever it might be that need to be taken care of. Just tell somebody else. But you know, this dear lady, she saw her opportunity, and she seized that opportunity. She did what she could. Well, the ultimate result is that it was a glorious result because the whole family was later converted to the cause of Christ. And friend, when we have a benevolent heart, we look for opportunities to do good toward other people. But maybe some of us are not benevolent as we ought to be, because we're just not willing to share. We're not willing to sacrifice. We don't want to deprive ourselves for the benefit of other people. Are we selfish? And I'm persuaded that many who have opposed the ways and means of helping the needy, they're not looking for some better way to do it. They're looking to satisfy their selfishness. They don't feel like they can afford to give up what they want for themselves in order to be a benefit to somebody else. But I ask you, can we afford to fare sumptuously every day without trying to help other people who lack? Now, this may be a very grave problem in our nation because there are a lot of people in our nation that are in need. That may be true even in our community. I want to tell you I'm thankful to be a part of a congregation of God's people that are of a benevolent attitude. They're constantly raising foodstuffs, clothing, building beds for other people, helping people that are in need. That's the way Christianity ought to be. I'm so glad to be a part of a company of people like that. And we live in a land of plenty, don't we? Certainly more than the rest of the world has. And we can be glad that our nation has been a very benevolent nation. You know, there's been no country in the history of mankind that has reached out and tried to help other people as benevolently as these United States in which we live. And I am confident this is a part of the reason for our own prosperity. We have so much more relatively than so much of the world. We live in a land of abundance where some people are starving. Over here, people are dieting. And we have food surpluses, and there's food all around. Our grocery store shelves are full. Oh, I know that there are many contributing factors to people being in need, but let it never be said that they do not have what they need because we lack compassion and because we're selfish with what we have. Friend, are you cold? Are you hungry? Are you without clothing? Do not most of us have an ample supply of those things? Oh, we can count our many blessings and name them one by one. Now, it's not evil to have adequacy. It's not evil to even have an abundance. But should we not think that all of our desires must be met without ever giving thought to those whose basic necessities are not being met? Human suffering is real, and it's widespread. The need to help those who are in need, it's everywhere, round about. Now, we all know, should know anyway, that the primary work of the church is not to provide the world's breadbasket. That's not the reason the Lord died on the cross. He died for our sins that we might have spiritual salvation. But he also has taught us how to live while we are here upon this earth. And part of our faith requires work as well as word. Now, many suffer because of their own sins, but it is true that a lot of people suffer not because of their sins, but because of situations and circumstances beyond their control. Many innocent people suffer, and they lack the things that are need. Children are to be pitied, and they ought to be helped when they're in need. Whatever might be the cause that provoked the hardship, friend, as we have opportunity, as Paul has taught us, let us do good unto all men, Galatians 6 and verse 10. And especially, Paul says, that good should be done for those who are of the household of faith. As we have opportunity, Paul says, and if we'll look round about us, I think we'll find that there are opportunities to do good to other people. You see, the work of New Testament Christians in our day is to restore New Testament Christianity. Not only the way of salvation, not only the Lord's church in our own time that was established on the first Pentecost after his resurrection, not only to teach people how to worship God according to God's terms, and how faith, repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ is the way of salvation, that's a primary role of the church. But as we restore New Testament Christianity, should we not restore this benevolent attitude that will cause us to speak benevolent things and to do benevolent work? And why should others be known for having more compassion for the needy than the Lord's church? You know, in Acts chapter 4, there were none that lacked because the brethren were benevolent. In 1 Corinthians 16, it shows how that the brethren were instructed, laid by for the relief of others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it teaches that the churches of Macedonia were commended for their giving, even though themselves were in deep poverty, and they were giving for the relief of others. In Acts the 22nd chapter, the church at Antioch determined to send relief to the brethren in Judea. Did not Jesus teach us, it is more blessed to give than to receive? When we consider the passages of Scripture in Romans and James and Luke and other places, possibly our attitude will be brought more in line with that which pleases God, the New Testament message that calls for benevolence. We can afford to be merciful because we have received mercy. As has been said, there but for the grace of God go I. Yes, a lot of people are in difficulties. We could be in difficulties if we'd had the same circumstances they have. When we see another in need, we need to remember of our many blessings. And as we have been forgiven of sins, surely we can show kindness to those who are in spiritual distress, especially those in spiritual distress, and also be concerned about those who are in physical distress. You know, saying, Lord, Lord, that will not suffice. Just to say that we believe, why, the devils even do that. We need to show our faith. And how do we show our faith? You remember how that there were some men who brought a paralytic man to Jesus one time, and they had to let him down through the roof because of the crowd. They couldn't get to him. The Bible says Jesus saw their faith. Now, faith is a spiritual quality. You don't see spiritual qualities except as they demonstrate and manifest themselves. He saw their faith because of the things that they did. Well, that's the way we show our faith also. It's by our works, first of all, of obedience to enter into Christ where salvation for the soul exists. And then we are to glorify God by our good deeds. We're to tell God that we're thankful and appreciative by what we do, sharing our blessings benevolently, liberally, with those who are not as fortunate as are we. Well, friend, I simply ask, is this not a part of being like Christ? Well, we're trying to persuade us all that it is like Christ to be found doing good unto others. So as the days come and go, as you count your many blessings, as you see others who are in distress, and you hear about others who are in need, be mindful, the Christian is one who is found doing good unto others. This is A Burning Fire. Until next time.